Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyar. I wrote The Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-ENYAR. That's 1-800-836-9278.
So would this qualify as good chocolate, this Heath bar, or is that not good chocolate? That's not good chocolate? What about Excedrin back and body pain pills? Can you take those? No? Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in for Bob Enyar, talking with Will Duffy, our exalted producer, about his new lifestyle change. I just learned that there's good and bad chocolate, and then we have to go to air. I need to know more on that, Will. If I'm eating bad chocolate, I want to switch to good chocolate. I just don't want to live without chocolate, although I don't have that much of a sweet tooth. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and the nation's most effective, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. As I said, I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in as Bob Enyart continues his mission behind the scenes. He's building the personhood campaign tracker. And what would you call it? The catapult? The battling ram? The battering ram, the Bangalore torpedo of the 2010 election, the personhood campaign tracker. Bob continues his efforts on that through the month of May. And so, well, the second string is here. Take up the slack. And, you know, Will, I really need to check my email more than 5 minutes before air because I got an email, some stunning personhood news, some stunning pro-life news. But I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it. Probably shouldn't, you think? Just leave that. You know what? If there's anyone at Colorado Right to Life who would like to call in and break the stunning, monumental personhood news as it relates to the governor's race, I could say that, right? I mean, I'm praising the Lord to high heaven. It's amazing. But I am not going to be the one to let the cat out of the bag prematurely. But if anyone at Colorado Right to Life wants to call in and break the big news, I'd be happy to give you some airtime to do just that. So, by the way, if you want to help Colorado Right to Life and help Bob build the catapult, the battering ram, the Bangalore torpedo of the 2010 election, the personhood campaign tracker, we need about $20,000. So go to coloradorighttolife.org. You can make a donation there. You could call them up at 303-753-9394. That's Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. Call them up and make a donation toward, toward personhood in general, toward Colorado Right to Life in general, but especially toward the personhood campaign tracker. You know, I've heard it said that many pastors do not want to get involved in personhood because, well, they say it's a political issue. And that we're not called to political things, we're called to spiritual things. And so let me throw a couple Bible verses on you if you think in that vein. Starting in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, it reads, "Look, the princes, each one has used his power to shed blood. They have made light of father and mother. In your midst, they have oppressed the stranger. They have mistreated the fatherless and the widow." Now, who are the princes? A prince is a political position. So does God care about politicians? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 10. "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and they may rob the fatherless." Does God care about what laws politicians write? Does God care what the law says? Absolutely he cares. And if the church doesn't stand up and teach the politicians that we cannot abide a law that legalizes killing innocent people. If the church doesn't stand up, who do you think is going to stand up? Do you think it's going to be the princes? I don't think so. So it's time for the church to stand up and say we will not abide this. And it's not a political issue when it comes to the church. It's a moral obligation. Because you know what, pastors? Politicians go to hell too. Yeah, if they don't learn the truth, if they're not brought to repentance and to humble themselves before God for all the wickedness they do, they go to hell too. Don't you care about the politicians? So nobody's going to call in and break this big news? Unbelievable, man. Okay, I'm way down in the pecking order on the totem pole there. But I saw the email, and I'll just, okay, we'll wait, and the news will break of its own accord, right? We'll allow the news to break of its own accord. All right, now let's move on to the news of the day. Have I given all the, Colorado Right to Life? That's coloradorighttolife.org is the website. The phone number to call, 303-753-9394, to make a donation as large as you can toward the building of the Personhood Campaign Tracker. Now, let's move to Richard Blumenthal, Attorney General of Connecticut. Big news today. Mr. Blumenthal is apparently running for the United States Senate in order to embarrass and shame his mother. And he's done even more than that, because while Mr. Blumenthal was a United States Marine, he apparently never served in Vietnam, and he's made some statements that if one were to, well, take them in context as they were stated, one would think that he did serve in Vietnam, because I think he said, in the days that I served in Vietnam. It's kind of hard to take that out of context. Now, he says he simply misspoke. Maybe he meant that he served since the days I served in the Vietnam era, when I was at Paris Island getting the Toys for Tots drive together. I just want to clear the air right now and let everyone know that I was a United States Marine, but I never heard a shot fired in anger. In fact, I lounged around the barracks and shot pool and drank beer and laid on the beach for 4 years. And I think I was making about $900 a month. I was grossly overpaid. Grossly overpaid. So that's just, if I ever run for political office, you'll have the record straight on Doug McBurney and his sad sack service in the United States Marine Corps. You know what it was? It was the height of the Reagan buildup. I mean, nobody was messing with us in 1987. Nobody was messing with the United States Marine Corps. We pretty much had it made in the shade. It was great. All right. Now, let's move on to more serious news. Touching on one of the topics from yesterday, Dateline Columbus, Ohio, a disturbing story. The Ohio Parole Board today recommended clemency for a condemned inmate. One Richard Neilds was scheduled to die June 10th. Mr. Neilds killed Patricia Newsom in 1997. During an argument, she died from a combination of asphyxia and blunt force trauma to the head. But the parole board there in Ohio, now some 13 years later, has decided that Neilds should live. Now, the ruling is only a recommendation for Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Ted has the final say. I wonder if it's possible for us to put a link to Governor Ted Strickland there in Ohio. I am going to ask my other brother Daryl, who takes care of such things, if it's possible to put a link so that we can have some of our fine audience members of the brightest audience in the nation, send Governor Ted Strickland, Democrat of Ohio, a message saying, please, thumbs down on Richard Neilds. I don't want to get into the whole story because it's so convoluted. It'll make you sick, because they're actually arguing about, was he vicious enough when he applied the choking and the blunt force trauma? Was it vicious enough to justify the death penalty? Perhaps there were mitigating circumstances as he choked her and clubbed her in the head until she was dead that would cause us to have mercy. And, you know, This is not mercy. Sparing this dirtbag's life is not mercy. What would be merciful would be to wake up Mr. Neils tomorrow at about 7 in the morning and tell him at 3 o'clock, Mr. Neils, you are going to meet Jesus. So get ready. Lock him in the room with a Bible. And at 3 o'clock, drop the hammer. That would be merciful. Mr. Neils might even repent. But now he's going to languish in prison and mock justice and probably harden his heart against God and against justice. Probably. Let's see, anything else here? Governor Strickland, a Democrat, last year rejected a ruling by the same moronic, inane clemency board to grant clemency to another condemned inmate. So there's hope that Governor Ted out there in Ohio might make the right decision, and hopefully we can put a link on the site so that you can try to contact him with some good sound reasoning. Should I give the number for people to call? Maybe that's why they haven't called in to break the news. I'm eating some more of this bad chocolate. So do you know that chocolate is very good for the vocal cords when they're stressed out? So that's why I'm eating this Heath bar. And that's the only reason. The number to call, if you want to be on the show or break any big news, is 1-800-8-369-278. Bob Enyart Live, we welcome your call, especially if you disagree. The number to call is 1-800-8-369-278. Write it down. Remember it. Live it. Call us anytime. We're happy to take your call. All right, now let's move to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Reliable Joe Biden was in Philadelphia yesterday where he witnessed his 28-year-old daughter receiving her master's degree in social work. How appropriate is that? Joe Biden spends $80,000 a year on his daughter's education, and she walks away with a master's degree in social work. Joe's not the sharpest tool in the box. But anyway, since we were doing commencement speeches yesterday, and since Mr. Biden is a reliable font of stupidity, I pulled this story down in hopes that I would have some Joe Biden quotes. But apparently Biden's handlers have gotten wise to the situation, and they're not allowing him to actually be quoted anymore. They're allowing the press pool to report on what he said, but they've tried to put a moratorium on Joe Biden quotes because it just doesn't work well for them. Well, he was in Philly, where he was paying off his his daughter's $300,000 master's degree in social work. He told about 150 graduates of the, what's the name of this? The School of Social Policy and Practice. That's just so ridiculous. Can you believe that someone has conned these ignorant East Coast liberals into paying all this money to go to a school of social policy and practice? How are you going to make a living with a degree from that unless your father is Joe Biden? I just don't get it. Anyway, he told about 150 of these master's degree candidates that they could bring positive change to the world by empowering others. You know what that means in Joe Biden's economy. That means you can bring change to the world by handing out patronage jobs to your nieces, nephews, and even your daughters. So he says you can bring positive change to the world by empowering others. Biden told the graduates, here's what he told them in his inimitable wisdom. Joe said, your belief that you can make things better is the fuel of social change. It's your belief, Joe said. Now, I don't know if that's actually what he said because there are no quotation marks here because they refuse to quote Joe anymore. But I'm giving my best rendition. So it's your belief that you can make things better that's the fuel of social change. Can anybody understand what that could possibly mean in a concrete? Could you give me any concrete interpretation of that? Anyway, I would argue that perhaps it's not your belief in what you can do that's the fuel for any kind of change, but it's your ability. Your ability. I mean, you can believe all kinds of things. You can stand on a three-story building and believe you can fly, and they'll be scraping you off the concrete, despite your belief, if you're actually to jump and follow your heart, so to speak. But Joe says it's their belief that's the fuel for social change. Let's see here. The vice president also warned against abuse of power at every level. Now, that's kind of odd. These are a bunch of 20-something college kids graduating. They don't have any power. What does Joe mean? He's warning against abuse of power at every level. Perhaps a Freudian slip on what Joe knows to be going on behind the scenes. But they're at the White House. Well, in all the climbs and reaches of power there in Washington, D.C., I mean, Joe knows. Joe's probably got a pretty guilty conscience. All right. Now, let's talk about, what do we want to talk about here? Oh, we do have some quotes from Ted Turner. Now, Ted Turner, founder of CNN, ex-husband of Jane Fonda. By the way, did we ever confirm if Jane Fonda actually became a Christian, or did that not take? It didn't take? Anyway, she became a Christian long enough to ditch Ted Turner. Maybe it was simply a tool that she used, because she knew that Ted was in cahoots with the Antichrist, and that if she started reading the Bible, that he would flee, and she just wanted to get rid of him. That may be what happened. I forget. I mean, seems like she had a conversion, and then she ended up at a Planned Parenthood awards dinner, and we all suspected that maybe it didn't take. Anyway, Ted Turner says that the Gulf Coast oil spill could be a judgment from God. That's what Ted Turner said. He said it could be God's work. It could be God sending us a message. Now, I'm not a religious person, but I'm somewhat religious. And I'm just wondering if God is telling us he don't want us to drill offshore anymore. Yeah. And right before we had that coal mine disaster in West Virginia. Remember that? You remember that? And it seemed like there's one over there, that coal mine disaster over there in China every week. You heard about that, right? Well, maybe the Lord is tired of having the mountains of West Virginia, you know, having the tops knocked off all the mountains out there so that we can get more coal. You know, I think maybe we ought to just leave the coal in the ground and go with solar and wind power and geothermal and all. You heard about that, right? Now, where's my scotch? Where's the Lord is saying, bring Ted some more scotch. That's Ted Turner on the will of God. And well, there's not much more you can say about that. A new study out of where is this out of? This is from the Wall Street Journal. I think this is, researchers from the Eastern Virginia Medical School conducted a statistical review of 43 previously published studies involving 28,000 adults to get an accurate estimate for what percentage of men experience postpartum depression. Are you prepared for this? Well, Will, you've already got one kid. You've been through it, right? Postpartum depression? Oh, yeah. 10% of men, they say, suffer postpartum depression, and nearly a quarter of women, they say, suffer from postpartum depression. So let me just say something to all you people out there. You're not supposed to be happy all the time. Sometimes you get bummed out, and sometimes it seems like life is just a giant moving wall of momentum that is crushing you down, and sometimes you get depressed. It's okay. It's normal. You're not going to be happy all the time. I mean, unless you're on Ativan or Prozac or something like that. And even then, eventually you're going to run out of pills, and you're not going to be happy all the time. So if you think you're supposed to be happy all the time, you've been lied to. And you're unrealistic. I think that life, the best we can hope for on this mortal plane is, it's not exceeding joy all the time. No. I would hope for relative contentment. Relative contentment is a good, worthy goal, punctuated by moments of extreme joy and extreme sadness. That's about the best you can hope for. And that's why I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know that in Him, in the next life, that I will be able to achieve the levels of joy that I wish I could achieve here. Not that I'm all that depressed all the time, but I'm just not happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. And I'm okay with that. And you should be okay with that too. If you're upset sometimes and you're depressed sometimes, and sometimes it seems like things are... You know what I remember after having my first child? I remember waking up at night one night and thinking, my goodness, I'm responsible for the life of this child. And I was not depressed, but I was terrified. And then I got up the next morning and I went to work. And believe me, that wasn't a joyful situation. But I got over the postpartum terror. I don't remember ever experiencing depression. But I remember experiencing, I don't know, that moment when you realize that you're all grown up and there really isn't anyone else you can count on to take care of you, that you're the guy. And it's okay, guys. Rub some dirt on it and get back in the game. All right. Now, you've heard Bob Enyart on numerous occasions. He has called for a national DNA database in order to prevent crime and in order to capture criminals. And I, for one, am a supporter of that. I would volunteer, if there were such an opportunity, to have my whole family, we would all go and submit our DNA to the national database. If I ever have a son, I want my son to know that the feds and the cops have his DNA, so he better be a good boy. Because, you know, a desire for our children to be loving and good, well, that's a wonderful thing. But in reality, there needs to be some fear associated with keeping them on the straight and narrow, especially at an early age. So I'm all for it. Well, listen to what's happening out in Baltimore. Out in Baltimore, under a new proposal. well, this is an interesting story. All dogs in the Scarlet Place condominiums under this proposal out there in Baltimore, all the dogs would be swabbed for DNA. Dog owners would pay $50 per pup. That would cover the cost of tests and supplies. And then $10 a month for the cost of having building staff scoop their dogs, well, for lack of a better word, poop. Yeah. So this is to bust people who don't clean up after their dogs. There's a company called BioPet that has apparently gotten in touch with the folks at Scarlet Place Condominiums, where they, apparently they have a problem, a rampant problem, with non-scoopers. And BioPet comes along and says, we can solve your problem. They're a Tennessee-based company, and they say that they will create a doggy database. Yeah. And then all the deposits that are scooped that are unaccounted for, what you might call mystery deposits. Well, you send them down to BioPet, and then they compare all those mystery samples to their doggy database. They identify the guilty owner who didn't scoop responsibly, and the owner would have to pay a $500 fine. And see, I'm with this all the way up until that. I don't think there should be a fine. I'm for corporal punishment when it comes to lack of responsibility in taking care of your dog's business. I think that the owner should be caned. But that wouldn't work out too well for BioPet, because after only a couple of canings, you would see very conscientious scooping going on throughout Scarlet Place condominiums there in Baltimore. In fact, you'd probably be able to eat off the sidewalk there after just a couple of canings. No longer would there be a problem. And BioPet sort of reminds me of the prison industry. They're not necessarily interested in solving the problem. They're interested in continuing the problem at a lower, more tolerable level and then profiting from it. Anyway, but perhaps some of our governmental officials will get the idea that it is time for a national DNA database. What more do we have here? According to BioPet, 40% of dog owners don't pick up after their dogs. And they say that with 75 million dogs in the United States, that adds up to 15 million unscooped deposits. Now, that's a lot. And it's kind of disgusting to think about. But I'm not for BioPet reducing that to 12 million and then saying that we're winning or that we're doing good just because BioPet's shares are going up. Anyway, are you following me on this? Perhaps not. It might be time to set this story aside. I've probably gotten all I can out of this story. A new clue to explain existence. Now, I'm not smart enough to get into detail on this story, but physicists at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory, they say they've discovered a clue that could help unravel one of the biggest mysteries in cosmology, why the universe is composed of matter and not antimatter. I know, I was pondering that just last night before I drifted off to sleep. They say that this clue could give us a possible explanation for our existence. Yes. According to the basic precepts of Einsteinian relativity and quantum mechanics, equal amounts of matter and antimatter should have been created at the Big Bang and then immediately annihilated each other in a blaze of lethal energy. That's what they say should have happened. They say that should have left nothing with which to make stars, galaxies, and us. And yet here we are, we exist. And physicists, among others, would dearly like to know why, according to this New York Times article. Well, collisions of protons and antiprotons at Fermi Labs' Tevatron found that the fireballs produced pairs of the particles known as muons slightly more often than they produced pairs of anti-muons, about 1% more matter than antimatter. So, isn't that interesting? Now, whether this is enough to explain our existence is a question that cannot be answered until the cause of the still mysterious behavior of the of these muons, anti-muons, and what they produce called B-mesons is directly observed. Yeah. Joe Lycan, a theorist at Fermilab, said, I would not say that this announcement is the equivalent of seeing the face of God, but it might turn out to be the toe of God, according to Mr. Lycan at the Fermilab. So, it's just like my pastor says, when the physicists finally summit that great mount of knowledge, they will find the theologians up there having tea, and the theologians will welcome them, and the theologians will thank them for their efforts in proving the existence of an eternal, just, and righteous God, which the physicists will eventually do. But come out to Denver Bible Church, and you can hear all about it every Sunday. Is that it? We're out of time. That's the show for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, go to Colorado Right to Life, make a donation toward the Personhood Campaign Tracker, and Maranatha Christian School in Arvada, Colorado. Maranatha, what a great Christian school.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.